Now we'll be joined by life coach Sumaya Kuvvaria, who joins us now on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Sumaya.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi, Jaz. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, all good, all ready to touch hearts once again.
Yes, we are. And jazakallah to Mulana Baam as well, you know, for setting this tone for our conversation today.
Perfect. So now we start off, Sumaya. Give us the definition of conflict resolution.
Conflict resolution is the process by which two or more parties engaged in a disagreement, dispute, or debate reach an agreement resolving it. You know, so at this point, I'm wondering if I could just get the listeners, you know, to become interactive with us right now.
Yes, indeed, the lines
are
open.
Ask them, yeah. Yes. You know, I'd like to ask them this question. Mm-hmm. What makes conflict so attractive that people are not only willing to create it, but maintain it for long periods of time?
Mm.
You know, because in today's world, in the 21st century, people are more interested in conflict creation than conflict resolution. And I'm just wondering, you know, if the listeners can give us their thoughts, their observations, their views as to why this is taking place. And it will be interesting, you know, to hear what they have to say.
Yes. Sumaya, how does effective communication assist in conflicts?
Effective communication is, you know, it's very, very important. Because when you improve your communication skills, you create deeper connections and clear understandings in your communications. That's basically what happens.
Hmm.
Because the quality of your life will mirror the quality of your conversations. And that's really, really profound. You know, many of us don't even look at it that way. Right now, I'd just like to go into just a tiny bit of an example to make your listeners aware of how these communication skills work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take an example of a teenage daughter and her mother,
right?
You know, because teenagers and, you know, their parents are always getting into conflicts and arguments, and sometimes we just don't know how to handle those. So just for the benefit, you know, of the listeners, and just to sort of play this out as to how communication works, you know, if you allow me, Ijaz, to just go ahead, you know, with a little bit of a dialogue here. You know, so we've got this teenager who's, you know, really, really angry right now. And she's got her arms all folded, her tone of voice is curt, and she tells her mom that, you just don't understand me. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of mothers are actually, and can relate to this, you know, where the teenagers are telling them, whether it's boys or girls, you know, you just don't understand me.
Mm.
And now the mom is all upset because she's been doing a whole lot for the daughter. So for with a raised voice, she also says, you know, nothing I do is ever good enough for you. So now what we have here is two people, a teenager and her mother, just launching words at each other. But there's no real communication taking place because what's happening here is both of them are in a conflict, right? So here's a technique that the mother could have used or can use effectively to communicate with her daughter.
Hmm.
What if instead the mother paused for a moment? And I'm using these techniques, guys, because they honestly do work. They take a bit of time, you know, to start implementing. But today, if listeners really, you know, maybe just get a pen and paper out and just take down a few notes so that later on you can go back to them. And these are very quick and simple things that you can implement, and it's going to change your life if you keep it up and, you know, you're consistent with these things.
Mm-hmm.
So now when you're in that heat of, you know, heat of that argument, just pause. Pause for just a moment. Put your hand on your heart, and this action alone shifts your mental and emotional state. Now, that's powerful. I'm sure nobody really knew this, right? They're just doing that action. It's a physical action, taking your hand, putting it on your heart, and in that moment, you're just pausing, right? And then what you're delivering to your daughter also is a really nonverbal message. So if you're ever feeling reactive or hasty in any kind of a conversation, just do this, and it will diffuse the charge. And this works to create wonderful connections between people. Then the mom can continue and ask a few powerful and purposeful questions, such as, you know, Fatima, how do you mean? I want to understand you, but how will you know when I understand you? So now what's happening is you're creating a dialogue. You're letting her go into that whole, you know, dialogue with you where now she's going to understand that you want to understand her, right? Or a mom could have asked that, tell me specifically, what does understanding mean to you? Right? The moment the daughter said, you just don't understand me, the mother completely flips out and she feels, I have to get into defense mode because I'm doing so much for this daughter of mine, but she's being so unappreciative. But instead, you just pause and you go with that word, understanding, and you just expand more on it. So what happens when you're doing all of this is you are uncovering more information about your daughter's map of the world, right? That's what you're doing. And then you can basically speak into her listening style. That's what it's all about. That's what communication is all about. And, you know, just a very good quote that I always like to use is, you know, George Bernard Shaw says that the biggest challenge in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. Right? So when we're communicating with another person, seek to understand by asking questions. That is something we never ever do because we're always reactive. We're never responsive. Right? We're always jumping into that automatic response, reactive mode. So don't assume that you know what people mean when they say certain things. Rather ask them questions, you know, like, how so? How do you mean? You know, I'm wondering, what do you specifically mean when you say such and such thing?
Samia, I'm just going to interrupt you there. We've got our first caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Hello, Baigana Chok.
Samia.
All right, first rule of radio when calling in, put your radio off. Smeya, now, one thing that we notice is that nowadays the teenagers, they've got this mechanism, it's called the rolling of the eyes. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, that tends to grate on the mothers especially. Is this a hot button, and what is a hot button?
Okay, that's a very good question, Ijaz. You know, we live in angry times, so it no longer shocks us. It no longer really, okay, let me use the word really, right? It no longer really shocks us when a teenager shoots up his school or siblings get enraged because the one is using a condescending tone or, like you said, teenagers rolling the eyes, you know, at parents or even couples having a tiny argument and the divorce and divorce is the result of that. And all of this is, it's a hot button, right? A hot button is an emotional trigger. That's what a hot button basically is. We know exactly how to push each other's hot buttons, especially in close, intimate relationships, right? So your hot buttons get pushed when people call you names or when they don't respond to you, they challenge your competence or they don't respect you, give you some kind of unsolicited advice, don't appreciate you, you know, like the mother in the previous scenario that we said. And sometimes when people are condescending to you, these are just a few triggers of emotional hot buttons. So when someone pushes your button, it makes you go a little crazy, right? That's what happens. Like in these scenarios I gave you above, you know, can we say that these people were all crazy? Or were they crazy only for a few minutes because they didn't know how to turn off their hot buttons? That's basically, you know, what a hot button is. So when your hot button is triggered, you know, we in any relationship, we're going to launch zingers to one another. Zingers are those words that we say to each other. And that's when conflict resolution becomes such an important skill for every single person to learn. Because without conflict resolution, without the skills of conflict resolution, you just don't know how to navigate through those tough pathways and terrains, you know, to get onto the other side. Because conflict can be healthy as well. Some of the most amazing relationships are developed through conflict, provided you know how to resolve the conflict.
Samia, someone has sent a message. Please ask Samia to repeat the quote again, and you can do that and also answer this question. It's three important things that create a better communicator.
Okay, T. You know that, I'll start off with, you know, with the quote.
Okay.
The biggest challenge in communication is the illusion that it has taken place. Okay, I'll say it one more time.
Okay.
The biggest challenge in communication is the illusion that it has taken place.
Perfect.
Right, so I'm, you know, just hoping that the caller got this.
Right. Now on to those three important things.
Okay, that is now for conflict resolution. You know, the thing is when we are in conflict with, you know, with people, what happens is that we become so sort of enraged. You know, everything sort of goes a little crazy because we are emotionally driven at that time. When we are emotionally driven, nothing basically works out for us. So when we become somebody who gets into conflict resolution, we know the skills about conflict resolution, you know, and we know what to do. We become very good at listening, because listening and becoming an active listener is one of the most important things when we are trying to resolve conflicts, right? Mm-hmm. We all learn how to speak. You know, that's a given. But how many learn how to communicate effectively with poise, purpose, and precision?
Yes.
Not many of us can do that. You know, and that's the reason I'm going to urge listeners. I mean, this, you know, in this short period of time, we can't teach you everything about conflict resolution. So maybe it's a good thing, you know, that people put that on their, I don't know, maybe on their list for this year. Things to do is, you know, let us get better at conflict resolution and, you know, effective communication. That's what we need to do.
I see a message now, Sumaya, from a listener out in Dubai. And mm-hmm. they say, interesting regards to the hot button thing. What do you do when your spouse triggers it?
When your spouse triggers the hot button.
Mm-hmm.
That is very, you know, very, very important. You know, when it's coming to our relationships with our spouses, you know, conflict is something that can be solved by using words, right? Because what happens is there is no avoiding conflict. There definitely is no avoiding conflict, but learning how to avoid zinging each other, you know, with those zingers that we give each other, that's very, very important. So when you clash, it can be an opportunity for increased intimacy and a new sense of aliveness instead of feeling hopeless. You know, you can almost, almost say something, you know, very, very humorous, like, hello, conflict, thanks for dropping in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what you can use. And since we know that, you know what, conflict resolution always takes words, right? Since the cradle, we've been taught that actions count more than words. But here in conflict resolution, it's the complete opposite, right? Conflict resolution, it's using the art of dialogue and great listening skills that help us with our differences, right? The second thing is conflict resolution is really about winning or losing, or who's right and wrong. So when you understand, when you're sitting with your spouse, you know, and you understand it's not about me winning and you losing. It's about us coming to an agreement and then, you know, an understanding and acknowledgement of what is going on, then we can appreciate each other's differences,
mm-hmm.
right? And definitely, conflict resolution can't happen if you're trying to avoid the conflict, you know, walk around it or smooth over it or pretend it doesn't even exist. So, you know, the best thing is when spouses get into those conflicts, it's sitting down, talking, understanding the other person and what's going on with them. And once you understand all of that, you know, it becomes a little easier because, like I said, with conflict, we need to use words. More than actions, we need to use words.
Perfect. Now, we'll continue this discussion, inshallah. We've got one more ad break, Sumaya. I think we'll take it now. But before that, I'm just going to ask you randomly again, off the topic, because I've been asking all our guests today, if South Africa government had to implement a one person, one chocolate law, what chocolate would that be for life coach Sumaya Kuvaria?
Oh, for me, definitely would be a Toblerone.
Toblerone, yeah.
Yes.
Toblerone is good quality stuff. I know it's my father's favorite as well. Whenever someone comes from overseas, they always bring one bar for him and an iced tea half of it.
Yes, that's my favorite chocolate too.
All right. We'll continue the discussion on conflict resolution and communication skills after the break. 10:50, and we're discussing conflict resolutions and communication skills with life coach Sumaya Kuvaria. Sumaya, this message is coming through now on SMS. It says, people like creating conflict because they love drama. I know someone who can create drama out of everything. So basically, how do we deal with drama queens and pity party creators?
That is a great question. You know, I don't know where I read this, but, you know, it's very good advice, Ijaz. It's just a, you know, very quick one-liner thing where they say, put brain in gear before putting mouth in motion. Right? It's humorful, and it has a lot of, you know, it has a lot of impact when you say it. Like, put brain in gear before putting mouth in motion. And yes, we do get a lot of those drama queens who can turn every single incident or every single thing, every single communication into a total drama. And what I say is, you know, when you come across those people that are real drama queens, I generally tend to run from them, right? Because drama queens are people that, trust me, we're using the word drama queens, but you get men that, you know, are very dramatic as well. But we can't call them drama queens, obviously, but they love drama as well. And people that love drama, everything around them has to be so big and so large and so unrealistic and so bold, you know, that's basically just who they are. And then when it comes to people that are people who love pretty parties, I always say that when they send out invitations, do not accept the invitations, right? If someone sends you a pretty party invitation, Ijaz, please decline that.
Yes.
Because what's going to happen is they bring you down with them.
Hmm.
Really, are they ever willing to listen to what you have to say? They don't want solutions that's going to get them out of their pretty party mode. No, they want to stay there because they want people to feel them sorry. That's how they gain significance out of life. You know, I know this may seem a little harsh, but it's very true. You know, people that are generally in that pity party mode don't want to get out of it. They just want to stay there, and they want people to join them.
Hmm. That's
so
great.
I don't know if that makes any sense.
You can
add something to that as well.
You know, Sumaya, it's a few words, if you use it appropriately, it can get better results as you speak. So now, maybe you can advise us on what words can be used in different situations that can maybe have a different outcome if used.
Yes, you know, there's a lot of words that we can use. Before we go into, you know, into just using those words, Ijaz, I'd like to, you know, I was having a chat with someone on effective communication, and something this person said to me really, you know, made me sit and take heed, and I wanted to share this information with people. And the reason I'm saying this is, yes, I am a woman as well, so I don't want, you know, when I say this, because now I'm referring to women, I don't want men to nod their heads and say, yes, that is how women are. No.
Mm-hmm.
The reason for me passing this information on and sharing this with women is for us to become better communicators, we need to know where we're going wrong at times, right? So, yes, there's a lot that we could share with, you know, about men as well, but due to time constraints, we can't go into that, and this is specifically for women.
Right.
You know, this person said to me that, you know, we've got to reflect upon what is being said before shooting off, right? And women have this amazing concept of interactive communication, namely to respond to something or someone before the person has completed what the person wishes to say. So to unlearn this trait, when I asked, you know, okay, how can we unlearn this trait? And the answer given was to unlearn this trait. It may not be very easy, but can be remedied in real-life scenarios where one points out when someone is interjecting before the other's thoughts are finalized. So, I mean, you know, if you're a woman and you're listening to me, yes, I do that. You know, I do that as well. But now, because I'm aware of it, that I've got to listen to somebody before they have completed and formulated their thoughts, before I give my answer, before I respond to them. Because if I'm going to just respond to them, you know, without fully listening, I don't even know what the end of the conversation was all about.
Yes.
You know, so that is just something that we can learn from. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then going back to the words, you know, there's two important words that I'd like to share with listeners.
Mm.
You know, that is basically, it's basically the words and but. Right? We call them the, you know, scotch tape and white out of conversation, right? Because and is like a building thing. It builds on ideas, you know, for your communication.
Mm-hmm.
And the but acts like a white out. That is like, just say for example, is I tell you, Ijaz, you know, you are very good. Probably your wife would tell you. Ijaz, you know, what you did today for the kids was very good that you took them out. But I wish you had given me 2 more hours because I needed more sleep.
Yeah, and you won't forget, you won't remember anything said before the but.
No, you don't. Because now you're not even remembering the fact that she appreciated you taking the kids out.
Mm.
You know, you're focusing on the fact that she needed more sleep, right? So we use this all the time. We use but. I mean, in every sentence, not every sentence, but I mean, almost every sentence we're using but. When we're sitting with people, this has happened so many times. We're sitting with people and we're talking. Before we can even use the but, you know, a person already senses, and you pause and somebody says, okay, I sense a but in there. What is the but? Right? Hmm. We don't realize how important that word but is. But acts as an eraser. So if you want to put in, you know, the bad news, put that first. You know, for example, you know, as your wife would say, I really needed 2 more hours of sleep, but I'm so thrilled that you took the kids away and gave me a break. Right? Mm-hmm. So what are you more focused on now?
Not that you helped, yeah.
Exactly. You know, you go into that whole appreciation thing and you're focusing on that. And then when we use the and, you know, the word and. And is basically almost like, you know, something that builds upon things. That's what it is. These two words are very, very powerful. Because let's use this example again, you know, where we are, you know, in sort of almost like a business, you know, a business sort of scene where a person wants maybe, you know, they want a raise.
Right.
And they're basically asking their boss that, okay, can I have, you know, can I have a raise now? So what happens is, at that moment, you know, they say, no, you are a good worker and you're good with, you know, with people and all of that, but you cannot have a raise now. So that person has already forgotten that I'm good as a worker, I'm good as, you know, an employee, and I'm good at everything else. The fact of the matter is that I cannot have a raise now, right? So we've got to first put in, you know, how much of effort. If you said, okay, you are putting in a whole lot of effort, you know, you're great with everything, you're great with the staff. And, you know, when you add in the end allows you to add another idea, right? Mm-hmm. So you can go on. You can go on with all of that and say, yes, this is what it is. This is, you know, I'd love to go on, but, you know, I'd love to give you this raise right now. You've already said, okay, why? The reason is that you don't want to give the person whatever they need from you. And you are putting all of that in, you know, before time. So you're using the but to erase everything that you have said before time, okay? And then you're coming on with, now I'm telling you, okay, this is what it is and why I can't give it to you. So the person understands so much better.
And I'm sure lots of employees listening, they are writing it right now. You know, how are they going to, when their staff ask for raises, they say, I remember Life Coach Sumeha said I must add the but after saying all the good things. I'm hoping that doesn't happen. Sumeha, finally, we've got like basically a minute or so to close up. Any final thoughts, you know, regards to conflict resolution and as a whole, maybe you want to close up this Family Matters series?
Yes, you know, it was a good 4 days for me. I'm hoping that your listeners gained a lot of benefit, you know, from this.
I'm sure they did.
4 days, inshallah, yes, that they gained a lot of benefit because we touched on so many different topics.
Hmm.
You know, we started off with the sibling rivalry and then we went into the whole forgiveness for the 2 days. And from there, we moved into the conflict resolution and, you know, communication skills. So from different, you know, different levels, we've touched on different levels. And with every single one, you know, especially when we touched on forgiveness for the 2 days,
yes,
we get into those moments where we feel that we need to forgive because I have done something and it's my communication that hasn't been right, right? More often than not, it's in that communication that we hurt people. So when we know how to be better and effective communicators, we are going to bring that scale of how we hurt people through our words. It's going to come down. It's going to get less. And before we talk to people, we are going to reflect. We're going to first become very good listeners. Then we're going to reflect on what is being said before we respond.
Mm. Perfect.
So, you know, if people just bring just a few of those things and just implement it and just remember the word consistency. If you are consistent, even in a small way, every single day, you are going to get there and it's going to make a difference in your life. But the trick is and the secret is consistency. Without consistency, you're not going to get anywhere. Because if you try implementing something today and then you said, okay, only next week I'm going to get back to it because it's too much of an effort, that is not consistency and you're not going to see results. Because if you want to see results, you have to put the effort in. You know, the sad thing is that people want to see results, but nobody is interested in putting the effort in. So without effort, you can't see results.
Indeed.
And if we want to, more thing. If we want to make, you know, a huge impact in the world and we want the world to be filled with harmony and, you know, peace and being, you know, people having good communication, it all starts off with us. We have to take that responsibility to fine-tune ourselves every single day as better human beings.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair so much, Sumaya, for these last few days. We've really enjoyed all the discussions we've had and we've learned so much. I'm sure the listeners as well will agree with that. You have yourself a wonderful day. Jazakallah khair so much for all your insights.
Jazakallah once again, Ijaz, for having me.
Ameen. Take care now. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Wa alaikum salam.
It was Life Coach Sumaya Kuvadia closing up the Family Matters series. And yes, indeed, it's been a good few days. We just needed more time, didn't we? And inshallah, we'll see. Tomorrow will be the last day I'll be with you guys. In the morning, it's been a great challenge per se. I quite enjoyed it, I must say. And thank you so much for all of those messages coming through. They continue to come through regards to our topic today, the chocolate, and lots of well wishes regards to the program. It's time we've taken a minute of Maulana Bam's time already. Maulana Muhammad Bam, Jazakallah khair for your patience. And Jazakallah to the listeners for tuning in to Radio Islam International Sabah al-Muslim. And it's time to say goodbye. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.